Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, and welcome into the garage here at Frat House Sports Radio as we are getting ready for race number 15 this afternoon on the NASCAR schedule. Coming to you from one of my favorite places, the Irish Hills of Michigan International Speedway. We're sitting here. We're going to talk for the next 90 minutes or so. We'll sit around here and we're going to talk about everything motorsports, including a little bit of NHRA as well. We had some racing going on last week in NHRA up in New Hampshire, and this week, not far from here, just over in New Jersey. And, we're on this streak right now for NHRA where we're going to have a number of different races right in a row. Bam, 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 like 3-4 in a row. Unlike NASCAR, which actually will be taking a week off next week for Father's Day. But, hey, it almost felt like we had a week off last week, didn't it? I mean, that was a real bummer. I mean, no race at Pocono on Sunday. And as bad as things were on Sunday, it was absolutely glorious on Monday up in Pocono for the race there on Monday. They got going about 12 noon on Monday afternoon. And it was interesting because one of the things I found about Pocono, and having been there personally myself in the past, you kind of expect Pocono to be somewhat tame. It's a flat track. It's a long track, but there's only three turns. And you don't expect to see 10 cautions. Yep, that's exactly what we had. 10 cautions last Monday afternoon. And some of those really, really took out a couple of guys that, were having pretty good races. One of them, my guy who I had picked to win, Tony Stewart, actually was running pretty well for most of the race. And, didn't end up too well in at the end of it as he spun out, hit the wall. There really weren't any wrecks. It was mostly just spins, hitting the wall, and, that's basically what we're taking cars out. You got to give kudos, however, to a couple of drivers. Hey, how about Dale Jr. got a second place in that one? Chase Elliott came in fourth, and you got to be thinking, at least I am anyhow. Hey, it's just a matter of days, it would seem to me, before one of those two is going to get themselves a checkered flag. You got to think that. Absolutely. Then you got my buddy Brad Keselowski. Oh, I can't wait to get into this one with good old Sidekick. Yeah, Brad Keselowski. Yeah, he couldn't find anybody to pick on the racetrack, so he decided after the race to pick on one of the former drivers who now up in the announcer's booth. Yeah, he kind of took exception to the fact that Jeff Gordon kind of called him out during the race. Little body modification going on. We're going to hear a little bit about that. I actually thought it was quite hysteric, to be honest with you. Brad Keselowski didn't. I guess he considers that to be, hey, don't speak, don't tell. Hey, Jeffy boy, I know for a fact your crew did it, so don't you go ratting us out now that you're up there in the booth. That's kind of the way that I read that one, but we'll get into it here this morning as well. We're heading up to Michigan this afternoon. And despite the fact it does have a really kind of a cute nickname, being the Irish Hills, I actually do really like MIS. I like the speedways. I've said it before. I like the larger bigger speedways anyhow, and I like Michigan. And this will be the first of two times that we will be heading to Michigan this season. The next time won't be until very near the end of August. And as I also pointed out, we will be getting into a little bit of drag racing as well. We'll take a look at what's happening over in NHRA. If anybody wants to jump in with us, please don't hesitate. We got our good friend and loyal listener, Liz, I see sitting in the chat room right now. Appreciate that, Liz. Thank you very much. You can do that as well, or you can get on the line with us and give us a call here at 347-826-9964. That's how you reach the garage here at Frat House Sports for anything on your mind with regard to motorsports, NASCAR, NHRA, whatever, IndyCar, doesn't matter. 347-826-9964 is how you can get a hold of us here. Otherwise, I don't think Skype's working, so I won't make that recommendation. It hasn't been working now for days here at Blog Talk Radio. But we do know that the chat room's working, so you can get into the chat room here at Blog Talk Radio. You can give us a leave us a message in there, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. That's how you get me on Twitter, at Frat House Mike, always. Let's get at least one third, the other third, the second third of our crew in here. I got Brandon joining me. I don't know where Sidekick is. Have we heard from Sidekick?
Hello, hello. Yeah, he put a message in our chat. He's running a little behind.
I guess I missed that. There it is.
A little there wounded, I think it sounds. From lack of sleep. Anyway.
Oh, I can't wait to... Oh, yeah, I see that. Oh, this looks like it should be a fun conversation. Can't wait to get into a little bit of that. Yeah, we'll have to ask him all about that. All right. Well, anyhow, he'll be jumping in with us here shortly. We had a race last week. Got delayed. First one that's gotten delayed this season. It was funny. I was trying to remember the last time a race got fully delayed to the next day. And you know something, Brandon? I'm actually thinking it's been a couple of – it's got to be at least a season or so. I don't think we had one last year.
I know we had a Daytona 500 not too long ago, ran on a Monday, maybe 2 years ago. It was a miserable rainy day. They tried to get it in throughout the day and ended up Monday. Might have actually started on one day, finished on the other. So that might not be what the whole postponement. I got the feeling for whatever reason they gave up on the race very quickly. I don't know, why. It just seemed like, they had the rebroadcast of last year running before the green flag was even supposed to drop. And during the first break, they announced it was postponed till Monday. And like, that seemed awful quick. And that NASCAR usually gives it a little longer of an attempt, I guess. But, whatever. And then due to, the race being Monday and the DVR guide not updating, I didn't actually get to see it till I recorded the rebroadcast on Tuesday morning. So I finally got to see it, but I didn't see it for like 48 hours after it was supposed to happen.
Yeah. Well, that's okay because, listen, a whole load of people actually thought that when they started running the rebroadcast, they thought that was live.
Yeah.
And there were people that actually – and if you recall, part of the issue with that was, of course, Jeff Gordon was running in that race. So people actually thought Jeff Gordon came out of the booth to run in that one, which I think is actually quite hysterical.
Year's paint scheme and
that was one of the things I was actually complaining about. I thought that was I hate when they run a replay of the exact race from the same venue. Run it from a different venue because that can be that I can see where people could make that mistake. I almost did. You saw I made the mistake. I thought I came out and I heard, you were actually watching something else, and I thought that the race was going on.
Well, it was a race. It just wasn't that race.
What I thought.
They were singing the national anthem for a motorcycle event, and that's, you thought that was the actual race for a minute.
Exactly, yeah. So, but people thought that that the rebroadcast was the live broadcast, which, you know, and even Sidekick made reference to it, saying, really? How could people make this mistake? Well, I can see it happening because I almost did myself. With regard to that Daytona race, and I was going to say myself, you were saying it a year or so ago. I was actually, believe it or not, Liz is actually saying, hey, that was 4 years ago, believe it or not. And I remember that as well. Yeah, that we were back at our old studio digs, if you recall, when that occurred. But 2012, she says, that's when that one happened because she and her husband were there at that race. So down in Daytona, all the way from Canada, they went to that one. So bet you that was a nice, winter vacation for them. Going from Canada in February to Daytona. That was probably great.
Yeah, that was probably a shock. Shock to the system, temperature-wise.
I'm trying to think, too. Was that the one? That wasn't the one where they're... I guess that wouldn't have been the one where that Sidekick was at where there were the tornado warnings, right?
I'm not sure, honestly. We could always ask Sidekick.
Yeah.
In a minute or two here.
Yep.
I'm not sure, honestly.
Well,
it's hard
now,
to keep track of specific details like that from race to race.
They start to blend together. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yep. They start
exactly.
to blend together.
I thought that was, 2 years ago, and clearly it was 4 years ago. So, you know, same deal.
Right. One of the things that I took away from Pocono, and I pointed out as we opened the program here, and I'm curious whether you kind of felt the same way as I did. And both of us, we've both been to Pocono. I was taken back by how many cautions there were. There were 10 cautions throughout the entire race. And a lot of them for just outright, there were a lot of cars just spinning, particularly if they got high. If they got high in the groove coming around the bends, and you would see them spin, and they would spin off into the wall. And that's where you saw a lot of, a lot of cars going out, a lot of drivers leaving the racetrack, and a lot of the cautions came from that. I was a little bit surprised by that. What were your thoughts? Were you as surprised by the number as well? Am I wrong?
No, because... No, you're right. I mean, the fact that they were just spins, I think, part to me, because generally, if you lose it at Pocono because of the speed at which you're going to some of these turns, it generally ends like in a steaming pile in the wall. And we didn't get too much of that, which was a good thing. You know, it was just a spin and they kept going for a lot of them. You know, it did seem like an awful lot. That's for sure. I don't know, maybe it was the rain, maybe cleaned the track and there was no rubber for a while. You know, there's all kinds of excuses you can make as to why, but, it was definitely more than you would normally see.
And that's exactly kind of where I was going, the fact that this was a day delayed race. The fact that there had been a lot of rain the day before, which perhaps really, really cleaned that track up. The fact that the race was now being run an hour earlier in the daylight versus when it would have been run last Sunday. So therefore, perhaps maybe it didn't have as much time to heat up the track itself. Whether, in fact, the conditions, while it was a beautiful day, it was humidity-free for the most part. Was not terribly hot on Monday, whether all those conditions came into play with the number of cautions and spins and what have you that we had to deal with. And it would seem to me that that's probably what it came down to. I don't know.
Yeah, again, you're probably right.
I'm not a physicist, you need a physicist to figure all that one out. I'm not, I just play one on Sunday mornings. there are so many different aspects that come into the conditions. I mean, it starts to boggle my mind. I've been following stock car racing now for, you know, 5-6 years. I still don't understand all of it myself. I mean, you know, you hear them talk about the conditions and what those conditions do. I don't fully understand it all. I don't know.
They all have, effects on the car and handling and traction and all that stuff. So
you probably understand it better having actually been somebody who's been on a track with a vehicle. Now, maybe not a stock car, somewhat,
but it can, weather can definitely change the conditions. That's for sure.
I mean, you know what that's like just on two wheels.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's funny, when I had my big wreck that broke my collarbone and messed up my shoulder, I'm pretty sure the weather conditions that day had a lot to do with it, because it was a little colder and the traction wasn't the greatest. And, you know, I came off a turn and spun the rear wheel. That's kind of what started the whole thing to begin with. So it definitely, I think, had something to do with, you know, the weather for sure. Cause it was a nice bright sunny day, but it was only about 50
right.
degrees in April, and it was a little, traction was a little, tough to come by, and maybe going a little too fast and lost traction and, you know, ended up flying through the air. So probably not.
Yeah,
because
I was going to say, I do remember that was a nice day. You had a nice day that day.
Oh, it was beautiful, bright and sunny. It was just a little chilly. And, you know, I think that helped with the lack of traction that caused the start of the problem anyway. But anyway, yeah, to your point, it definitely does make a difference, you know, on the track if weather conditions are a certain way. I mean, we've even heard them mention, you know, hey, the sun came out and all of a sudden this car is going so much better because it just, you know, played into their setup a little better. So even the sun going in and out can make a huge difference sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, a clouded sun
yeah,
day.
Right, exactly.
And a half, right. And that's what's weird to me, how those conditions can change that quickly. You know, you don't think that they would have that great an impact that fast, but apparently it does. You know, if you on some of these bigger tracks, if you go, you know, if they were to go 20, 25 laps, with a clouded sun, that can affect it just 20 or 25 laps. I mean, to me, that's where it gets crazy to me, to have difficulty in trying to comprehend it all. Well, you know, we've seen, they've shown, and frankly, I appreciate it. I think it's a great addition and a great effect. When they show you on Fox even, and, you know, we'll see whether Fox, I'm going to tell you, I think Fox does a great job with their coverage. But when they show you that, the heat pattern on
yep.
the track, and they do that, you know, they show it to you over a delayed period, and you can see the heat pattern change over a period of time on a track. I think that is fantastic because it helps me understand the whole concept of how it affects track conditions. So I think that's really cool.
No, I agree. I agree with you. You know where it's more important even is NHRA, because, you know, I know
yep.
we're going to talk about that a little later. You know, the track temperature changing by 10 or 20 degrees can totally affect the launch
yeah.
of
yep.
top fuel and funny car for sure. Even pro stock to some degree. But, you know, you hear them talk all the time about how, you know, the track temperature changed and, you know, just the sun moving in and out of, you know, the clouds like that can make the track change that much.
Yep.
And, you know, it's even more vital there because of the horsepower. So, and they're not even turning left.
You know, it's
they're
funny.
Going
it is. Yeah, it's funny. It is. But because each one of those races is so short in duration, it doesn't seem to have as, I mean, it has an impact, it doesn't feel like it has an impact on the overall race the way it does in NASCAR. But you're absolutely right. It does have tremendous impact there. All right, let's get Sidekick in here, and let's get this. We got to get this funny take on what's this now? You're suffering from allergies?
Oh my God! You have, all right, dude. You know, for the fans at home, I attended a wedding last night, and I wish I could say that I'm hungover.
Yeah,
like,
right. That's what it is.
Believe,
come on, let's get it straight.
But I legitimately cannot blame the alcohol completely. I did. Now,
completely,
it was open bar.
Completely.
Well, it was open bar, and I had a lot of alcohol.
Oh.
Okay. But, you know, I towards the end of the night, I kind of tapered it off and that, but I could not get to sleep until 5 a.m. So I've got, you know, as you guys know, I have sensitive skin where, mm-hmm. you know, I have to use the special, you know, like laundry detergents, the non-allergenic and stuff like that. Because if I use regular, I just itch like a banshee.
Uh-huh.
So I brought my Zyrtec. I did not take my Zyrtec. So finally about 5 a.m. when I can't sleep and I'm just constantly, you know, itching and everything like that, I finally got up, took two Zyrtecs and fell asleep about 5:30 in the morning.
And
I just
this was as a result. This was as a result of using the hotel soap.
The hotel between between using the hotel, shower soaps
and
their
towels,
seats
and the towels
and
probably.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was a miserable curmudgeon at 5 a.m. Like I legit. Now Jen is legitimately hung over as all get out, as you can imagine. You've seen Jen drink.
As you can imagine.
and so, I mean, I've got video of her snoring last night, a 30-second video where it sounded like a train was coming through.
I'm sure she loves you telling this story.
I'm going to tell
know.
You something.
Oh, no.
I was about ready to get dumped.
I was downstairs at breakfast playing the video for everybody.
Oh, no.
I told her I was going to post it on Facebook.
I was going to say, it's going to show up on social media.
Anyway, so
I think you ought to put it up on YouTube and monetize it. You'll probably make some extra money if
there
it's
you
that
go.
Good.
Well, it's black because obviously it's dark, so, you know, it's low light. And it's just this, you know, and it goes on for like 30 seconds straight without a beat. Or
oh,
without missing. Like, you know, sometimes you hear somebody snoring, they'll snore. There'll be a little pause and then it'll keep snoring. You know, they'll snore for a little bit. This is straight on just for and this was going on for a good hour.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm trying, you know, I can't sleep. I'm itching, I'm scratching, and she's just over there. And I'm like, you know what? I'm taking a video of this because I'm going to play this back to her in the morning.
Oh, man. This coming from a guy who, by the way, I was on the road with this guy for a week or so.
Oh, I snore, too.
Oh, don't I know it.
I don't make any. I'm expecting my CPAP machine to show up next week. So,
that's probably a good thing.
We discussed on the Thursday show about my, you know, my concussion related stuff, that, you know, memory loss and things like that I was getting checked out for.
Oh, are they going to sleep apnea? Is that what they think?
That's only one of the diagnoses.
oh Lord.
Yeah. So the
other
was ADD. The ADD.
The other is
so.
ADD. Seriously?
No, seriously. Yeah. That's why. And I, you know, it's funny because I always thought, you know, oh yeah, I just, like, you know, I need energy drinks and I need things, you know, for me to, you know, wake up in the morning and focus on stuff. And when I was talking to the doctor and I was explaining everything to her, she said, you've been functioning with ADD your whole life. You just found ways to self-medicate yourself to get the same effect. So that's why you drink all the Red Bulls and do all, you know, you think that you just need the energy to get something done. And actually what you're doing is you're doing what the medicine would do by speeding yourself up to slow yourself down.
That is fascinating in some respects. I find it, I'm going to be honest with you, as long as I've known you, I find it difficult to believe. I'm having difficulty wrapping my brain around that. You don't strike me as somebody that's ADD.
Well,
my son was diagnosed with that when he was a youngster. I lived with somebody who was ADD, ADHD. You don't strike me that way.
That's what she was saying. The whole not being able to sit still, the having to rock constantly, the standing and moving back and forth and stuff like that, that's all symptomatic.
I don't know. I think I don't know. grumble on my part.
Right.
I don't know. Brandon, what do you make of it?
I drink energy drinks too.
Is ADD?
But... I don't know. I don't really know what ADD means, to be honest with you. I've never really totally understood that. So I don't know. You know, it does make sense in the sense that, you know, you could kind of self-medicate that way. I guess you got to trust doctors sometimes, I guess.
All right. Well, we'll find out whether you're truly ADD. Did you see the race last week?
No, unfortunately, I had to work. I did have up the fantasy tracker.
Right.
And that, and I did follow some of the feeds off of NASCAR.com, you know, about stuff that was going on during the race.
Okay.
But I did not actually get to watch the race.
Well, when you jumped in, one of the things that I was talking to Brandon about, Brandon saw the race like 2 days later. He actually saw it 2 days later. So, you know, for many people, it was impossible to see it because, of course, it ran on Monday at 12 noon Eastern time. But one of the things I was pointing out, and you probably read about it, Brandon saw it. You know, we've all been to Pocono before. It's a flat track. It's not one you expect to see a lot of wrecks. It's not one you expect to see a lot of cautions. And yet one of the things that jumped out to me was, hey, there were 10 cautions in this race. That's a lot. That's a lot for Pocono, isn't it?
That's a good question. I don't actually recall. I mean, like you said, I think it, you know, for the most part, it, you know, there's always a few. But I don't actually know if 10 is out of the norm for Pocono and that. But like you were saying, it seems it's not like some of the tracks where, you know, like a Bristol or, you know, some of the smaller tracks where, you know, there's going to be a ton of caution.
Oh, yeah. Right. And that's the bumping and what have you. Where Pocono, you don't see that as much. You will get what you saw on Monday, which was, as I was saying, you get a lot of spinning, particularly as the guys were flying up on the high side, as they were coming around the bend on the high side, you were seeing a lot of spins and then connection with the wall. That's what you were seeing.
Now, was that happening? Was that happening in the tunnel turn?
Brandon, it seemed to be happening to me. Actually not. I'm trying to think. It seemed to me it was happening a lot in what is it? Which one is the tunnel turn? Turn two, it seemed to me.
Yeah, that's the tunnel turn. Yeah, that's where most of it was going on. It seemed like,
because the tunnel turn's notorious for the bumps.
Yeah, it has a bump and it puts the car out of shape and.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering. You know,
and that's the more narrow of the turns, right? Is it not?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Because.
The
turn
other ones are bigger and wider.
Turn one is where they were coming out of there, and sometimes they were sometimes seven wide. They were seven wide coming out.
Well,
of
that's
turn
coming
one
down
sometimes.
The main. That's coming down the main stretch.
Exactly. Or
that's
then
turn
is that
three.
Coming out of? That's
yeah.
three. Okay.
That,
coming out of
that
three.
Main that main front stretch ends in turn one, and turn one of all of them has a little bit of banking and is a little wider because, you know, they're going like mad down that straightaway. So
right.
They need
right.
a little, it's designed pretty well, at least from that point. but yeah, the tunnel turns always where they have the most trouble. I think the biggest thing that I took away from it, like you had pointed out, you know, a lot of cautions, but not a lot of, you know, big wrecks.
No.
In other words, like, usually the spins end up with, you know, a bad result, and it that didn't happen this time, so that was pretty good.
Oh, so it was a lot of single
yeah.
car
exactly
spins.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
and one of the things I was pointing out was Tony Stewart was one of them that ended up in the wall, spinning exactly like I'm talking about, coming up high. Came up high on that one, and then just lost control. But and Tony was having a good race. He was running well. And, you know, right now I'm kind of pulling for Tony. I had Tony as the winner at Pocono. You know, spoiler alert, I might actually be sticking with that today. But, you know, there he ends up, what, 30-something? 30-something, I think, 34th as a result of actually getting knocked out of the race. I think he actually did get the car back on the track, but, of course, they were back in the garage then for a little while. Go ahead, Psychic.
Well, I was going to say, you know, because they're probably coming in there let me go back. Obviously, because I didn't see the race. Did they get spread out a lot? Was there a lot of,
No, not really. No, because of all the cautions, they never really got strung out
based
too
up.
Much.
Because that's why I was going to say, that's why you might not have seen them collect a lot of people. You know, because if they got, you know, if they're, you know, over, you know, however many laps, if the cautions are at least out some, they may have gotten, you know, the pack would have gotten spread out a little bit. So, you know, you have a single car spin. There's not a lot of traffic around him versus, say, like a super speedway. Somebody gets, you know, you're at Talladega or Daytona. Someone gets a little squirrely in the middle of a pack, and that's when you see the big one because they're, you know, 200 miles an hour, and then they're all bunched up together because you have to run that arrow. So you have to stay all in that tight little group. You get one guy in the middle that gets a little squirrely, and people, you know, move or hit the brake too much. You know, next thing you know, you got 20 cars piled up on the, you know, going into a corner or something.
Well, that's when you would hear, like on some of the restarts, that's when you would hear, you know, as he usually does, you know, Mike Joy kind of exclaiming, you know, when on the restarts, when they were running pack, you know, and he would, they're five wide coming up, you know, and that's. You know, it was a lot of times on the restarts, and there were quite a few restarts because as a result of the cautions, obviously. He had 10 cautions, so you did have quite a few restarts. But if you're talking about did they get spread out, like was there a lot of lap traffic or things like that? No, there really wasn't because, of course, obviously it's a big track, so you don't get much of that. But
did they bust out the – cautions breed cautions cliche?
Daryl probably I don't remember it specifically. He rolls that out all the time.
Yeah. Cautions breed cautions.
you gotta love his hackneyed stuff.
Well, you know what's funny about and I'm gonna give you a segue here, Mike.
Uh-huh.
I did briefly last night while I was at the wedding, drinking. I did look at the outline, and that's all I'm going to give you a little segue.
Well, I appreciate that.
You know, the funny thing was, I just don't know if this is the point in the show where we're supposed to be talking about it, but I'm going to segue it anyway.
Well, we can go wherever you want. Go wherever you want.
You know, because it's Sunday, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Sunday fun day. so, DW. The thing that gets me about DW is his bias towards his brother's former racing team. and his brother's manufacturer.
Oh.
Yeah, when we talk about the cliches and stuff, you know, anytime he used to talk about MWR, he was praising MWR and, you know, these Toyotas are going to run great and my brother's race team. And it's like, Daryl, you're a color commentator. Can you stick to commenting on the race and try not to show so much bias towards your brother? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm not sure if I necessarily – look, I've got my complaints against DW as well. I don't know if I would necessarily put that as one of them. I just find him to be a little bit hackneyed. You know, if you've heard it once, you've heard it 25 times from Daryl.
Yeah, the Daryl-isms.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
and
gotten
some
boring.
Of them are nice.
It's gotten boring. I'm sorry. It used to be fun and funny, you know, but as we've pointed out here a couple of times this season, Jeff Gordon brings an awful lot, in my opinion, to the booth that we didn't even realize was missing before this year. We didn't realize it because we had to put up with the trite, hackneyed kind of stuff all the time.
Right.
Which we just kind of thought that was the norm until you actually get somebody in there who really is bringing some real color to the call of the race. I mean,
right.
You know, what's his name does as well, you know, our crew chief. But I don't know. Jeff, I think, does a very, very good job with it. I've heard Daryl gush about the Chevys. I've heard him gush about Hendrick. Just as much as I've heard him gush about Toyotas, it seems to me. I don't know.
Right. Well, sorry, my phone just started going off.
I was going to say, is that a new sound drop? We got Darth Vader coming on.
Yeah. That's my ringtone.
Is that the sound drop for Daryl?
Yeah. Yeah, that's my ringtone. So. My brother's actually on his way back from St. Louis. So he's calling. I guess he's calling to check in.
Oh, my goodness.
So I had to reject him. But no, but he rarely ever says anything bad or, you know, everything is always, you know, very positive towards and, you know, you know, like even when the whole, you know, kind of stuff was going down there with the, you know, spin gate and all that stuff, you never heard him say anything, you know, bad about MWR and that. And, you know, that kind of got under my skin.
Well, you don't hear him say anything bad about anybody, though, really, when it comes right down to it.
No, he's got on the Chevys and stuff before and.
I've heard him praise. I don't know. Brandon, real quick, jump in.
Daryl can be, you know, he has his moments where he's – I see what Sidekick's talking about. It's not so much anymore. It used to be more that he was, you know, trying to praise MWR to a degree. But I think now it's – you know, he's just – I think he sees the writing on the wall is what I think.
So do I.
He's getting desperate. I think he sees that, hey, Jeff Gordon's a better driver to have up here, and Fox screwed up by taking McReynolds out of the booth and leaving me in it. And, you know, because sometimes they seem like Fox is trying to get, you know, McReynolds involved from whatever position he's in, you know, and I kind of think that the, you know, next year we may hear something to the effect of Larry's back and Daryl's gone. I don't know. We'll see.
I love Larry.
I think Larry, with the technical part.
Doing the crew chief part, I love him.
Yep. Can't beat it can't beat it.
You know, I mean, he really, you know, he explains it. He makes it so it, you know, almost everybody can understand it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You know, and I think Jeff Gordon brings that as well.
Absolutely.
But apparently one of my pesky Penske drivers has taken some issue with Jeff Gordon.
Yeah,
oh, here
and
we
his
go.
Bias.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And I see both sides of Brad's complaint. You know, and it took me a second because
on.
I didn't. Well, you know, well, hold on.
He's whining.
No, and that's why I said.
Go ahead.
I see both sides. I agree. I think he was whining a little bit about it, but it did bring up a valid point, and it's why I, you know, kind of segued with DW first before we got into Jeff. Is like you said, I love Jeff in the booth. I think he is the Larry Mack of the drivers.
Yep.
When, you know, and that's why all of a sudden DW seems so like, you know, now that you've got somebody to compare with DW, it's like DW is horrible.
Exactly.
But again, you know, here you have, you know, a lot of people forget Jeff's a team owner. He's a partial team owner in
right.
Jimmy Johnson's ride.
But he doesn't throw it in your face.
No, he doesn't.
No,
but
I think
Sidekick's
trying to say that you can't tell. Sidekick's saying you can't tell me it's not influencing him. That's basically, I think, what Sidekick said. Go ahead.
Well, exactly. That's what Brad's argument was. He says, hey, you know, Jeff's a little biased because he owns a Chevy team. And he's not, you know, he's not always being a little impartial. And I haven't really noticed it. And that's why, you know, but it does bring up a great point, though. Should we be having commentators that have vested interest in teams that are running? You know, like,
well,
you know, when you had DW,
I don't think that
matters. You know, when MWR first came in and Toyota first came into the sport, you had DW, and he was, you know, squarely very pro-Toyota in the beginning. And as Brandon said, it kind of has died off. And when MWR died, it's, you know, it kind of really died off. But, you know, with Jeff Gordon being a team owner, you know, is there a risk of him being, you know, a little biased towards, say, Hendrick? Or Jimmy Johnson, or, you know, like I said, I haven't necessarily seen it per se, like glaring, like you have seen in the past with DW. But it does bring up a point. Should we be having people in the booth that have, you know, that are either active team owners or, you know, some sort of, you know, potential bias because they've got a vested interest in the on-track going daily going on.
Very interesting, because you're bringing up a journalistic ethics issue. And having formally been trained in journalism myself, I could make the argument in this particular case with regard to what occurred last week with Brad Keselowski and the booth, not just Jeff Gordon, not just Jeff Gordon. Because it was the entire booth, and I'm gonna in 1 second here I'm gonna play you the 1 minute audio from the race itself, and we got Greg on the line from San Antonio. So Greg, I'm gonna tell you right now, hold on, because I'm gonna get you on the air with us, because I want to get your thoughts on it as well, Greg. But I can make the argument that in fact he played it straight down the middle, journalistically ethical, straight down the middle. That there was, in fact, no bias whatsoever in his comment. And that really what this was more than anything else was Brad Keselowski coming out and going, hey, don't you dare tell on us. You used to be one of us. That's what it's all about, I really believe. I believe that this is a little bit of Brad Keselowski being butthurt, in my opinion, that in fact Jeff Gordon would go, hey, you used to be in our union, and now you're going and calling us out for probably something your own crew used to do. That's what I think it's all about. This was the audio. I want you to listen because Jeff took the heat on this. But you listen in to this audio from the exact race last week where it's actually being talked about with Brad Keselowski. And for everybody that's listening, what we're talking about here is a penalty that was assessed to Keselowski's number two team for body modification. And you're going to hear in here exactly what happens. But notice in this, all three, Mike Joy, Darrell Waltrip, and Jeff Gordon are all weighing in on it. It's not just Jeff Gordon.
Keselowski has come down to pit road at NASCAR's request.
Watch
this
two car.
You see the side of the car.
Yeah, coming down pit road.
Look right there, that area there. You can see how it's shaded, and that's from a body modification.
Let's show you what happened on the first pit stop for the two from our Fox cameras. Watch the Jackman.
Bam! He just put his shoulder in that one.
These pit crews have gotten so good at doing a pit stop and leaning in on that, and it does help the aerodynamics and the side force of the car, but it's also very much a judgment call by NASCAR of how much pressure they put on it. There's the tool that
yep.
they use. They go in there.
Drill a hole, and then you put a screw or something in there and jerk that back out. I've seen body plungers do the same thing.
We got a pit. We're being black flag here. They just black flag. It's just late on body modification.
What's the official saying there? I haven't seen no official tell me anything.
Well, they just yelled at me for it.
All right. Now, you can hear us. I just point out. You know, with all due respect, it was Jeff that was pointing out what had happened. But you hear Darrell go, oh, look at that. He put his shoulder in. And gosh darn it, come on. He did. And for anybody to sit there and cry foul and say, well, that's not what we did. Come on, that's exactly what they did. Jeff then later on, now it's not in this clip, but it was later on in the broadcast, pointed out that apparently that was what Keselowski was penalized for at Las Vegas. Apparently what Keselowski took exception to was that he was not penalized for body modification for that at Las Vegas. If you remember, I think that was the only race so far this season that Keselowski has actually won. And you can see the dent exactly in the same place that you saw it here in his burnout at Las Vegas where he won that race. You can see the dent in the exact same place in the door.
I think the reason they got called out on this is if you watch it closely, the Jackman, when he body blocks the car to dent it in, almost falls down. He hit it so hard he almost lost his feet. I think him stumbling around is what drew the extra attention to it. To be quite honest with you, it wasn't a fluid, you know, Jackman move, you know, get the jack in and, you know, lean on the car or whatever. No. He shoulder blocked the car and he almost fell on his butt. And I think that's what got him penalized, to be honest with you.
Oh, gosh.
So,
I thought it
know,
was
it
hysterical.
Is what it is.
I'm going to be honest with you.
The only thing I see as a correlation that Brad Keselowski could complain to about Jeff Gordon is in the early days of Jeff Gordon and Ray Evernham, they pushed every limit of the rule book they possibly could. So, you know, he could come off a little hypocritical there. You know, every team is trying to get any advantage they can, you know, and if this has been working for them, so be it. But NASCAR said that was just too much. Then you got called on it. So you got to take your poison. You know what I mean? Jeff Gordon and Ray Evernham brought a car out that they called T-Rex at one of the all-star races one time. It was going down the track sideways. It was so fast, nobody else could touch it. NASCAR couldn't figure out what they were doing, just told them, don't bring it back to the track. They couldn't specifically say what was wrong, but they said, just do not bring that car back to this track if you want to compete. And that was the long and short. And, you know, so, you know, there's been times where Jeff Gordon has been involved in a similar controversy. And maybe that's where, you know, Keselowski's coming down on him.
And that
was an all-star race, not a points race. You know, I'm not throwing anything bad at Gordon because I'm kind of the belief if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. You know, you got to push the limits of the gray areas You know, and sometimes you get caught, sometimes you don't. Sometimes it is a penalty. Sometimes NASCAR says, just don't do that again. We don't like that. You know, that kind of thing. So, you know,
that's
I think it is what it is.
I'm a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying, man. Hey, that's all right.
But I said the same thing, though, on this show many, many times when it comes
yeah, I mean,
to Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Hendrick and Hendrick's Motorsports.
Oh,
if,
yeah.
You know, if you're, you know, if you legitimately want a shot at winning, you're pushing the edges, and sometimes you get caught in the gray area. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Sidekick, I want to go back to something that you had made a comment, and this was in a chat thread earlier in the week. Because
yep.
I could sense that you and I were probably going to go at it over this. Because, look, let's get it straight. This has to do with one of your pesky boys. And I knew
right.
that this was going to come down between you and I. But you had made the comment, and I kind of thought the same thing. Well, what about post-race inspection? How does that get by post-race inspection? Let's say with the Las Vegas case.
Very easily. It was an in-race incident. I bumped somebody else. We were in the turns, and, you know, that's how they get away with a lot of those quote-unquote body modifications. You've seen guys touch, and then all of a sudden the next pit stop, they're pulling on the fenders as hard as they can to try to flare out the fenders a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they get by that. Oh, we had an accident. We didn't want to have a tire rubbing. Same deal with the door. You know, we bounced off somebody. It must have caved it in.
Well, see,
you know,
NASCAR
has a hard time with that, you know.
Well, and I know Mike's going to disagree with me on that, on the whole thing with Keselowski. Is, you know, like you said, the guy was fumbling afterwards. You know, it's like watching instant replay in football. You know, and, you know, the comment about, you know, was it a football move or, you know,
yep.
do you, you know, when it's slow motion, it looks one way, but when you look at it real time, it looks another way. You know, like, is the ball catchable or is, you know, and there's judgment calls made. The same could almost be made, the argument could be made for the Jackman. Like you said, he slams into the car, he bumbles his feet. It almost, you could almost argue the other side saying, well, it also looks like he may have kind of lost his footing going in, hit the car, and then, you know, was all flustered with his feet. It wasn't a smooth, you know, but because
it
a shoulder
wasn't a
goes
smooth.
Into, you know, because a shoulder goes into the side of the car, NASCAR says, oh, look, that's a modification. You're intentionally trying to dent.
I think you're really trying to help their case here, Sidekick.
I think some of the footage they showed from past races proves that he often slips and falls exactly into the same spot of the car.
Every week.
Every week. He just happens to, like, lose it into that door of the car.
They might want to be a Jackman.
That is one clumsy
Jackman,
I'll tell you.
I was
going to
say, they might
want to
change that Jackman.
I bet if you looked at it real close, there'd be other Jackmen that are the same way.
Yeah.
I bet they're not the only team doing it.
Well, exactly. He just, you know, again. He got caught,
exactly.
You know,
you just got to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to know. Well, all right, let me do this. Let me say this, and then I'm going to get Greg in here. You got to know, though, at this point now, you would think Keselowski's crew is going to be under a microscope at least for a couple of weeks. They're not going to be able to pull that one today at Michigan.
No.
That Jackman is going to be standing upright today.
They need to be on their best behavior now for quite a while.
Let's get Greg in here from San Antonio. Greg, how are you? We're having a lot of fun here today.
Hey, I've been listening. Good show, guys.
Thanks.
Great.
What are your thoughts on everything here?
Well, you know, I'd have to go back and look at this because I've been hearing you guys and I can't see it and I don't know, but the thing is, I do know that Jeff Gordon provides excellent coverage, and the thing with DW is he's been out of racing so long, he just doesn't know, it seems. And it seems like, you know, Jeff is fresh off. He knows the things. And I kind of trust what he says more than DW for a fact.
Right. Well, and, you know, it's funny, Greg. The last time DW raced, he was in the car of yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, to your point,
yeah.
I mean, you know, he hasn't been in any of these new cars with all the safety features and everything else.
Yeah. And another thing, going from DW to MW, Michael, I got to admit, when he does his little walk, you know, before the race.
Oh, dear God.
That's just really getting annoying. And you can see that half the drivers, when he comes up to him, they want to punch him in the face.
Right?
In some cases, Nova's gotten creepy. There are times he's gotten creepy.
Like the whole taco incident. Like, you know, Denny Hamlin now, like, just stay away from my car, bro.
I mean, well, you know, it's a lot of things like the Waltrips, with all due respect. The first time, the second time, it's funny. By the third, the fourth, the fifth time, it gets stupid. I've heard so many Darylisms, as Brandon pointed out. I've heard so many of the same Darylisms over and over and over again, that by the fifth and sixth time, it starts to become trite. And now MW's grid walk has become trite and almost laughable. It's almost cringeworthy at times. I mean, that's what it comes. I mean, you sit there and go, oh, good. And you got to wonder whether, as Greg just pointed out, whether, but, you know, some of the drivers are actually recoiling, going, oh, God, please, do I have to put up with this? You know?
You almost need to cue the Three Stooges music when he does his grid walk. I mean, that's honestly, that's how I feel. But I will say one positive thing about DW and his Darylisms. When we go from Fox to some other broadcast, I always miss the start of the race, the boogity, boogity, boogity.
Really?
I've
actually gotten bored with it.
No, I like it because for me, it's like, okay, you know, I'll sit there and do it when it's not Fox. I'll do it myself. I'll sit there and say, you know, because, you know, I've gotten so accustomed to that at the beginning of the race, like when it doesn't happen. I'm like, wait, whoa, hold on, wait, where's my boogity, boogity, boogity? You know what I mean? Yeah. So,
well, it's one thing if we.
But all the other stuff I can do without.
It's one thing if we do it here, and we've done it here. That's one thing if we do it, but I don't know. I've gotten bored with it every week from Darryl, I'm going to be honest. But I got you. Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the coverage is going to be like this year. And, you know, we're getting a late start on it this year, guys, if I'm not mistaken. Normally, we've made the switch by this time. Because Fox used to drop out after the All-Star race. But Fox isn't dropping out until, I think, July 4th.
Well, that's because
ever since they
we had the carryover of terrible NASCAR television.
Right, right.
You know, before we switched. So it was almost like the summer – beginning of the summer period, you had TNT, and then, you know, so now we don't have TNT anymore, thank God.
Thank God.
You know what I mean? We just have the two broadcasts, so we have Fox for a little bit longer before we segue to NBC.
Well, and what? We used to have ESPN, right?
ESPN ABC, yeah. That used to take over after TNT. Now it's just Fox to NBC, so they kind of have it more split in the middle. I think Fox picked up a few more of the TNT races than that went to NBC, because TNT had, I think their last race was always the 4th of July Daytona, and that is now the first race for NBC. So Fox picked up the other TNT races, and then and NBC got the second Daytona. So essentially both of them start their coverage at Daytona. is an easy way to remember it.
Right. Right. Exactly right. That very good. You're right. That's exactly the way that they're doing it. All right.
Hey, what else,
Greg?
Hey,
what else is on your mind? Go ahead.
One thing I want to bring up is I want to get back to starting lineups for today.
Yep.
Last week, I got destroyed by Rex. My team got totally destroyed. And this week, I'm looking at two different things. Number one, Smoke is starting third, which, you know, I'm just kind of looking at that. But another thing is Harvick in qualifying, he got denied twice because of Rex, and he didn't really get to show what he can do. And I just don't know. And for the first time ever, I'm thinking of, like, benching Harvick and putting Smoke in, which sounds ridiculous. But I just want to know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I'll tell you, I was right, you know, after you exited off the last week, you know, you continue to hear the show. I ultimately came out, and I was right with you on Tony. And Tony was running well up until he hit the wall. Tony came in third today, guys. And I know we're going to be getting into fantasy picks and what have you. And, you know, I kind of defer to Sidekick on this. But somebody else I would point out as well, Truex is going second today. And if I'm not mistaken, Truex had the fastest. He had the fastest in practice yesterday, I believe. You got to look at Truex, I think, as well. Sidekick, what are your recommendations for Greg?
Ooh, this is where I get to play Jeff Gordon.
Now it sounds to me like he's saying, should he in fact bench Harvick in favor of Tony Stewart?
And that's what I was going to say. This is where I kind of get like Jeff Gordon as a Smoke fan, you know, like we've talked about. I would love nothing more than sit here and every week say, I want Smoke. I want to put Smoke on. But at the same time, I have problems with his past, you know, the past couple of years, how he's run, that I don't know if I trust Smoke enough.
Well, here, I'll give you the answer to this question. You don't do that, and I'll tell you why. You're going to get more fantasy points from Harvick coming up through the field. You know he's not going to finish that far back. And the potential for Smoke to move backwards is,
great.
You know, higher to lose points from that side of it. So my opinion would be, you if you can do it, if you want to put Smoke on, he's only $13. You can probably get rid of somebody, you know, a middle or a lower guy, and get Smoke on there. I would not get rid of Harvick unless you're getting another big time player. You know, I'd only swap Harvick for like a Kurt Busch, or if you don't like his starting position or don't think he's going to run well. You know, and the other thing you got to remember,
Truex,
right? The other thing I remember is Tony Stewart runs well once it starts to get hot, and you know, you get hot, slimy, greasy tracks, and Michigan's always one of those where if it's hot, it's loose, and that's right into Tony's wheelhouse. So you know, these summer races, the two Poconos, the two Michigans, and I think there's another mile and a half one somewhere. I'm not quite sure right off the top of my head in the middle here. There's where you're going to look for Tony to pull off the win. And today could be it. I mean, he is starting third. You know, he does have – it is still a Stewart Haas car. But, you know, I wouldn't personally bench Stewart for Harvick. I mean, bench Harvick for Stewart. I'd find another way to get Stewart on the team if you really like his chances. But I wouldn't do that because Harvick's going to get you points coming through the field. Or if you're still – the other thing I would say is if you want somebody else, you know, switch him out for another bigger guy. I wouldn't use those two together.
It's a good point about moving through the field. We know that number four car is very, very, very capable of doing that.
Yeah, the points are well worth it.
Exactly.
Especially with Tony in this particular case, because you have the opportunity for the reverse. You have the opportunity for him to back up. Even if he drops back and finishes in the top 10 area, you know, he's still going to lose fantasy points from starting third. So you're better off with Harvick because you know he's going to finish better than he starts, more than likely.
More than likely.
I mean,
an accident,
you know, or an engine or, you know, any kind of difficulties, you know, could change that. But, you know, that's the only thought I had on that.
The one thing I would say is this, and then Sidekick, I'll come right back over to you. Harvick's coming out of the 29th spot today. at Michigan. 84% of the winners come out of the top 15. More than likely, Brandon's saying, and I agree with him, more than likely Harvick will move up, but the odds would be Harvick's not a winner today. But that doesn't mean he won't be a good fantasy player. Go ahead, Psychic.
I was going to say, I agree 100% with what Brandon said, because that's where I was actually going to go was, you know, like to what Brandon said, don't swap out Harvick just because you're not feeling Harvick and put Tony in. If you're trying to free up some space on your roster to fit somebody else in to go with Tony, then I would make that move. Now, with that said, according to NASCAR stats and fantasy, the last six races, Kevin Harvick's had an average finish of 6.5. His career average is 13th in 30 attempts at Michigan. Part of his qualifying run was hampered by two red flags,
yep,
which is why he qualified so poorly. So, you know, he typically finishes in second. He's always like a bridesmaid kind of here. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't worry necessarily about his qualifying position.
Man, I actually think that's a good reason to have Harvick on your team, to be honest with you. I think Harvick's going to definitely improve from where he starts. So to me, that I don't see that as a losing situation.
Sounds to
I
me like
Harvick's
Brandon's
gonna,
thinking about putting Harvick on his team.
Possibly. I don't like to put too many of the same manufacturer on my team. And, you know, I'm kind of doing the same thing with Harvick's doing with Dale Jr. this week. Dale Jr. starting 27th. And I know Dale Jr. runs really well at Michigan. So I'm kind of hoping Dale Jr. comes through the field and picks up the fantasy points. I don't know if I want to take the shot and do that with two different drivers. Yeah, that's making it a little risky, but there's definitely, you know, there's a plus side to keeping Harvick in my book.
Yeah.
Harvick's run well here. I think he's only won it once, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's only won it once. Junior's won it twice. Three-time winners, Kenseth and Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch is a three-time winner here. Believe it or not, there's only one four-time winner, and that's Greg Biffle. For anybody that wants to put Biffle on their team.
Yeah, no.
I tried that last week. I don't recommend it.
I bet you if you go back a few years, I bet you if
are you
add Rusty Wallace
in there,
you'll
Biffle.
Get more than a four-time winner.
Hashtag never Biffle. See? He lures you in. You're like, you know what?
Yep.
Damn it. I'm going to put him on my roster this week, and then he stinks up the joint.
2012,
never Biffle.
2012 was an anomaly. 2012 was an anomaly. That's all I can think of. I don't know. I don't know. I'm telling
Poor
you,
Biffle. No love.
I couldn't wait to get to my roster on Tuesday. I couldn't wait to just rip him off. I left the spot open. I just wanted to rip him off on Tuesday. I had no idea who I was putting in for him by Sunday, but I just wanted to rip him off. I was so annoyed.
And I bet there was so much disdain when you hit that dump button.
I'm going to tell you something. Did you see how badly I did last week? Seriously, honest to God, it was just horrible.
My one team didn't do that hot either. I think the show team didn't do
the
that
one
well.
Thing I will say is this, and Greg, Nicole was running really well there for a little while on Monday. Nicole was up near
was.
The top. Yeah, she was up near the top.
Yeah. Yeah, she's doing good, and actually she's
I think she's
going to
get a win
team.
One of these times. Yeah.
Well, she's keeping the same team. I'll tell you who it is. Their big three is Keselowski, Logano, and Edwards.
Yep.
And,
well, I knew Edwards was
you
in
know?
There.
Yeah. I mean, Edwards, yes. But the other two, I can never put them on my team for some reason. I just have this itchy trigger finger. I cannot do it. Can any of you guys ever put Keselowski or Logano on your team?
I do.
I'll put one or the other. I will never put them both.
Yeah,
Psychic's got no problem with it.
Well, but not both of them. I'm like Brandon. I like to spread things out.
No,
I don't
I'll pick
like
one
to
or
run.
The other. I will never do both.
Unless it's a manufactured dominant track.
And I think we've
kind of gotten away from that, though. We don't see it as a, there used to be tracks. We used to see it a lot where there was, you know, you always loaded up Toyotas or Chevys or Fords. But with the way the cars have changed,
you know,
I think we've gotten away from.
Well, you're really right about that
dominance. Well, except for this year. Every race has been a Toyota race this year.
Yeah, I know. But you know,
but I don't,
you're really right about that. There does seem, you don't seem to have the disparagement via track the way that it was even just 4 or 5 years ago. It was like, hey, certain manufacturers ran well on certain tracks, and you knew that. And that's the way it was. It doesn't seem to be that way. And like I said, you saw that just as early as like 4 or 5 years ago. I agree with you on that one. Dead on. Yep. Yep.
Sorry for the bird distraction. Get out of here, bird. I'm outside and there's birds all over.
I was going to say, I have seen pictures of Greg's ranch. He's got animals everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the goats are right here with me, and there's a deer,
yep,
and there's a bird. It's just like,
yep,
I'm living in the wild nature, man.
Yep.
Well, hey, I'm going to let you guys go. I'm going to go inside and make some changes to my pick, and best of luck today. We'll see what happens.
All right, Greg, thanks very much. All right. Well, that was good. Good chat there. I appreciate Greg jumping in with us here, and that was fun to get in a little bit of. Anyway, I actually got to give a little bit of expertise there. Not that
a little
I
extra
done.
Fantasy segment there.
Yeah, not
before
that I
before we get
exactly,
to the fantasy segment.
Exactly. I'm just looking at the clock here and seeing how far we can go. Real quick, you know, we were talking about. We got it a little bit into Harvick there for today. Anyhow, that was good. Brandon Jr. ran well last week. Junior's been running well the past couple of weeks. You
yep.
got to think Junior's going to get one real soon here.
Oh.
I got a feeling on it. Anyhow.
Spoiler alert, I'm keeping him as my does. So this is one of the tracks where, you know, when he ended his longest winless streak, it was at Michigan driving the Batman, one of
yep.
the Batman cars from the Christian Bale movie. So
mm-hmm.
Michigan has been a good place for Dale Jr. to get healthy. You know what I mean? Like if he's in a little slump, whatever. So yeah, I'm taking him again. I think I have him picked as winner on my fantasy team, and I'm picking him for Eat My Dust. You know, I think that team has been clicking. I don't think the qualifying thing, as Sidekick pointed out earlier, I think that affected a couple of different teams where they had, you know, less time to get, you know, to get to where they needed to get into the next segment. So, you know, I'm not taking anything. I'm not looking at that as a negative, that the qualifying, you know what, it is what it is. Because a lot of these guys will, you know, save their best run for their second in the first round. And if they don't make mm-hmm. the top 20, what is it, 24? So clearly he didn't even make the top 24 if he's 27. So yeah, I'm not going to worry about it. It's just qualifying. It was a matter of circumstance, you know.
Sidekick, real quick, I wanted to get your thoughts as well. Wanted somebody else that ran really well, and I brought it up at the beginning of the show. Chase Elliott. Yeah. Somehow or another, I got to think that one of these races very shortly, we're going to see Chase Elliott win one, don't you think?
Yep, he's the new Kyle Larson. He's on the cusp already.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I can't help but think that he's not going to, he's going to find a way to punch through one of these weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, I would not be surprised if, you know, we get down to Homestead, you know, and he's, you know, or get down to the chase and he's locked in because he's got to win. So, because the kid's been, after, you know, the first two, he started out rocky. You know, obviously he, you know, wrecked out of the 500. And then I forget what happened the second week. I think he blew up something. But since then, I mean, the kid's been, you know, the kid. He's been competitive
every week. That car led the most laps last week at Pocono, 51 laps.
So
he's got the vehicle to do it.
As I was watching that, like I said, on the fantasy, I thought he was going to get his win. I thought he was going to win Pocono.
If you look at the fantasy results, he was the number one fantasy points getter. He finished first in fantasy. They do rank them at the end, and I had him on my team, and he was showing up as number one.
Well, and I'll tell you, here was the thing that I got to see the race live. Here's the thing, one of the things that I was really impressed with Elliott last week. He led so many of those laps, and there were so many times that different drivers were running him down. Kenseth, in particular, at one point, was coming down on him. And boy, oh boy, that kid knew how to drive that big, enormous, wide track from getting ahead of him. It was really, really impressive for somebody his age to be able to drive like that. It was really, I mean, I got to tell you, it's, you know, we talk about the fearlessness of somebody like a Kyle Busch. This kid's got that same kind of thing, doesn't he? I mean, it really feels that way, doesn't it? Like, he's got that Kyle Busch sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, his dad did an amazing job raising him as a racer. I mean, he put him in everything imaginable that kid could race to round out his skill set and stuff. And I know he's got, you know, he's probably, you know, God-given skill. You know what I mean? Being the son of Bill Elliott and everything, but all the upbringing, you know, and stuff, you know, of him coming up is just, you know, amazing. And he's not like a Joey Logano where, you know, he's got that kind of teen angst, cockiness. Like, he's, like, very mature for his age.
Yep.
And
very
his
polished.
And his status in the sport. You know what I mean? And, you know, I mean, the kid's going to be special.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Know, there's probably – I don't think there would be anybody better to take over the 24 from Jeff Gordon. You know, because it's very reminiscent,
of
I
Gordon.
Think –
Of course,
obviously there's differences, but there's so many similarities though at the same time. This kid's going to start winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to see, his name's going to be up there a lot.
I think you can say the same thing about the other rookie. I think Ryan Blaney, I think Dave Blaney did an equally good job of getting him ready to race. And, you know, he's running them Penske, you know, those quasi Penske cars for the Wood brothers. So, you know, you might see him pull one off yet too.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I think you're going to see these two, you know, fight for the Cup championship for many years. I think they're both going to be, you know, big time players moving forward.
Right.
Well, one thing I will say, we've got the rookie of the year, thing going on right now. And with Chase Elliott's number fourth place finish last week, I do know that, and I'm trying to find it right now. I had it in the notes here. Here it is. I know that Chase Elliott jumped up quite a bit. He is now currently almost 40 points ahead of Ryan Blaney, 196 to 157, so 39 points ahead of Ryan Blaney. So we're starting to see that gap get a little bit bigger now for the rookie of the year. All right, real quick, let me get over.
I was gonna say,
go ahead.
before we switch up, I was going to say, the problem I think that Ryan Blaney has is everybody recognizes Chase going into Hendrick and taking over the 24 and how good their equipment is. And it's not necessarily to take anything away from the Wood brothers, but like you said, they're a Penske satellite team that hasn't run a full schedule in a while. And I think that's why Ryan Blaney maybe doesn't always, he's kind of coming in under the radar,
mm-hmm.
more quiet than Chase Elliott is. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to be exciting to watch them too this year.
Yep. I agree with you. I agree with you. Let me do this. I'm going to do kind of an abbreviated, NHRA update. Let me just do it this way because here's my guess, guys, and I don't know if I necessarily want to get into it all. This is very interesting. This is one of the first times I can ever remember this occurring. I am looking live right now at the NHRA website, and I'm in looking at the ladder on each one of the major fields, and we're already seeing round one wiped out. So, in other words, they've already run round one. So I don't know if I necessarily want to get into it because I don't want to give anything away. Would that be possible, Brandon, that they've already run round one in English?
Where are they at? Are they on? Yeah.
English.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think they started 11. I think the elimination starts at 11. Yeah.
So by 12:20,
yeah,
they would have already.
Oh, yeah. You'd be done with the first round, sure.
Well, I got to tell you, this is the first time I've ever seen this where they're actually updating the ladder live, is what it looks like to me. They're updating the ladder live on their website. So I don't know if I necessarily want to give anything away because, it'll be broadcast a little bit later this afternoon on Fox Sports 1. But anyhow, here's what the leaderboard right now looks like. Over in Pro Stock, forget about it, guys. It's Jason Line and it's Greg Anderson. That's all it is. And don't you know Greg Anderson won a Wally last week? It's either been Greg Anderson or Jason Line all season long. No one else has won a Wally except those two guys all year in Pro Stock and NHRA. But nonetheless, Jason Line still leads Greg Anderson by 89 points. Drew Skillman sits there at number five, 529 points. Holy smokes. Erica Enders, ninth, 653 points out of first place. Jake Coughlin is your cutoff at minus 654. So I think for all intent and purpose, in Pro Stock, you already know who's going to be your points winner for this year. Believe it or not, already this early on. Funny car, Courtney Force right now just 15 points ahead of Jack Beckman. Ron Capson third. Tim Wilkerson fourth. Robert Height coming in seventh. John Force coming in eighth and in top fuel. Doug Coletta leads all, 46 points ahead of Antron Brown. If I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to remember who won. I believe Antron won, I believe, the Wally last week. Antron sitting in second place, 46 points behind Doug Coletta. Brittany Force coming in fourth. Tony Schumacher finally got into the mix. He's now moved his way up to fifth. Leah Pritchett right now is your cutoff at number 10, 425 points out of first place. There's my abbreviated report. I don't want to necessarily, as I pointed out, get into giving out too much of what the results are right now. Anyhow, let's get over to Sidekick and let's get your fantasy picks for in the Irish Hills at Michigan. What do you got for us there, Sidekick?
Which is funny because I just had to redo my roster because I was on the wrong team. I was setting up my other team and I'm like, uh-oh.
So he's right, ripping everybody off of that one. Uh-oh, good job.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. No, actually, because it's Michigan and Pocono, I didn't really want to tweak too much. the show team didn't run too well last week and that, so I wanted to tweak a little bit for the most, but for the most part, I was keeping the roster between between Pocono and Michigan. Cause it seems like they are kind of, have the qualifying's been kind of similar. So I did make one sub because of our earlier conversation. I'm going with the heart, and I subbed out Regan Smith for Tony Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
But basically I'm going with Kevin Harvick, Joey Logano, Dale Jr., Matt DiBenedetto, and Tony Stewart.
That is one mixed up team. That is really one mixed up team. You want to talk about mixing up manufacturers? Wow. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, with the exception of, Tony and Kevin, they're both SHR. But like I said, I had enough money left over that I was able to sub out. When you guys said that Tony was 13, I had enough money sitting on the table that I was able to sub out Regan Smith for Tony Stewart. Mm-hmm. So
Tony's coming in at about $13 right now.
Yep. 13 is what he's coming in at. I'm going with Joey for my winner and Ford as my manufacturer. I'm going with Joey as my eat my dust pick. The last time Joey was on the pole at Michigan, he won.
Yep. As far as eat my dust goes, I can tell you, Sidekick, you're going with Logano. Loyal listener Liz right now, who is in second place, going with Kyle Busch. Brandon and NASCAR John are tied again yet this week. Let me just real quick, I want to just one check. Tied and just 2 points behind second place Liz. It's really gotten tight between second, third, and fourth. NASCAR John going with Logano. Brandon, where are you going?
Junior. Dale Jr.
Dale Jr., that's what I thought. I'm going with Tony Stewart again. I'll probably regret it, but I'm going to do it anyhow. I will tell you this. Loyal listener Liz has sent in her fantasy lineup. She's got Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, the Dinger, and Jimmy Johnson, and she's got Ryan Blaney to win the race today.
Nice.
In her fantasy pick. Again, though, she's picking Kyle today in her Eat My Dust. So there you go. All right, folks. Well, I think we got it now. We got Michigan today. No show next week as, interestingly, NASCAR is off on a Father's Day. I don't remember that before, guys. I don't remember NASCAR
There's an Xfinity race.
Yeah, but there's no sprint.
Also, I won't miss the show while I'm in Disney.
No, you will not. Nope, you're not going to miss.
I'm only missing one show.
Correct. I find it interesting though, because obviously historically Mother's Day, but in the past I thought we always had a race on Father's Day, but no
it
race.
It was usually Mother's Day where there was no race.
Exactly. Always.
Father's Day it always seemed like
Yeah, and no race this week, this year anyhow. So. Well, no show next week. We will be back again in 2 weeks on June 26th. So that's when we will be back. Want to be here Tuesday night. We're going to be getting our Major League Baseball cleanup hitters program going at 7 p.m. Eastern time right here on the Fried House Sports Radio Network. Myself and Nick Mandarano will be joining me, and we'll be talking all things Major League Baseball. Haven't done that yet this year. Thursday night, our flagship program, the Fred House Sports Show, number 249, coming to you at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And then I will be back here with you next Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. for another relaxed Fred House Saturday. In the meantime, as DW loves to say, boogity, boogity, boogity.
Let's go racing, boys.
Yeah, Sidekick likes to say it, too.
I'm going to head down the road to Orange County Choppers. I'm a mile away. I'm going to check out Orange County Choppers before I get out of New York.
Love it. Have a good time.
That'll
enjoy
be
the
fun.
Racing. Enjoy the racing, everybody. Enjoy it.